T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Watch the sun come up this morning. I took the time to watch it rise. And as its beauty struck the darkness from the sky. Go on, Springer, sing with me.
No.
I thought how small and unimportant all my troubles seemed to be. And how lucky another day belongs to me.
That's pretty good, Philip.
Today is mine. What's that from?
Bill Dance.
Bill Dance, the original Bill Dance show. I was actually going on, by the way, welcome to Upstate Outdoors. You're listening to 106.3 WORD with Philip Gentry and Tommy Springer.
Things are back to normal, as you can tell.
Yeah, things are back to normal. And a lot of stuff is going on today. If you haven't followed us on Facebook, today is the Upstate Outdoors 5-year anniversary. It just seems like yesterday that we found that set of keys in the parking lot and said, wonder what these fit to. And we got inside the building and started doing a radio show, and nobody ever stopped us.
Never have.
Yeah.
No.
So that's a good reminder, kids. If you find keys later in a parking lot, find out what they fit.
Exactly.
You too could have a radio career from it. So, a 5-year anniversary today, and it's a hurricane party.
Woo!
Yeah. We're just waiting for the invited guest to show up.
Yeah.
I don't think she really wanted to come up here.
No, Flo said, kiss my grits.
Yeah, that's right. I got some insurance to sell somewhere.
Oh, my goodness.
But we got a great show coming up for you today. As alluded to, we're going to have probably... Would Bill Dance, definitely the biggest name in the fishing industry.
The greatest icon and fishing shows, who started it. Okay.
Yeah.
One of the few, him and maybe Hank Parker and
I think Hank Parker came around after.
He did after, but they were two of the first, and golly, I can't remember that one.
Jimmy Houston. The old guy.
Old guy.
Golly.
Yeah.
Money Penny looked that up.
But you know who?
Virgil Ward.
Bingo.
Virgil Ward was actually.
He was the original.
I think he was actually the original. And
agreed.
Bill Dance followed behind
him. Agreed.
Yeah, I remember when Virgil Ward retired, he said, I'm retiring so I can spend more time fishing.
Bingo.
You're like,
that
you're retiring from
me.
A lifetime of fishing, spend more time fishing.
Very good, Philip.
But we will have iconic outdoor angler Bill Dance on the show with us today as our 5-year anniversary. Really looking forward to that. And of course, in the meantime, we got a bunch of Hurricane Florence stuff to talk about. And this is the point where I say, stay tuned to 106.3 WORD for our Operation Hurricane Florence Watch. Will somebody tell that gal she needs to get on up here?
Woo!
I think it probably what happened was when she hit Myrtle Beach. Like most people, she was like, hey, I just go hang out on the strip down
Bingo.
Here, find out what's going on.
That's a good explanation as I heard from anybody else, my
that's
friend.
It. So we'll start out the show with the Upstate Outdoors blog talking about last-minute outdoors severe weather tips for outdoorsmen, because you still got time. And then, really interesting, and I got this sort of a lead-in from our field reporter, Chris Wells. We're going to have Bobby Jackson. Bobby Jackson is a volunteer. He worked for a long time with the Southern Baptist Convention, but he started, do you remember last year, a couple years ago, when they had the Cajun Navy?
They've been in operation in this one, too.
Well, the extension of the Cajun Navy, and basically what that is where you got rednecks and John boats.
Bingo.
And Bobby will even describe themselves as that, rednecks in John Boats, who basically go around and help people out who have gotten into flood situations.
Yes.
And so they started the Palmetto Navy here in South Carolina, and we're going to have Bobby on the show with us. Talked with him a little bit earlier. He's in Marion, South Carolina. He was up in North Carolina, you know, up there around New Bern helping some of those folks out, and then came down because it really looks like this storm is going to be a flood event, you know, next week. You know, the aftermath. And so we'll talk to Bobby Jackson. They do have some need, and they do have some volunteer opportunities. So if you're a redneck and you have a John boat, we're gonna ask you to enlist in the Palmetto Navy. Then speaking of rednecks and John boats, we're going to go with a live report from the coast with our buddy Captain E, Captain English Glover, taught with English too. And he was like, "Hey man,
I love it, man.
I'm gonna get you hooked up with the Cajun Navy guys." I'm like, "English, we've already got that, man. Dude, okay." Look, you're not talking to the B team of radio here, son.
Yeah.
You're talking to the A team of
upstate
radio. And he's like, okay. So we're going to have Captain E.
It's been a rough week
on.
For Captain E. You know, he thought it was going to be really bad, and then it's just not. And then it's just been kind of an emotional roller coaster for Captain E.
I think he likes it.
I think he does, too.
Yeah, I think, especially if he'd be in the middle of it with
exactly.
a microphone.
Exactly. He's like He's an entertainer.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing was he was upset because they couldn't do their show, the Southern Anglers radio show.
Yeah.
And
they might
like,
coulda.
He's like, "Hey man, I could." Well, and they didn't know.
Yeah,
he didn't even know
they
if he was going to lose.
They were being, you know, cautious.
So we're going to talk to Captain E. Then the second hour, we're going to go into the Roadkill Cafe.
The shrimp were being easy pickings before this rolled in.
Yeah.
I mean, easy pickings. They were everywhere. So we're doing shrimp and grits today.
And then we'll talk a little bit more about Hurricane Florence. I'm sure that'll be on and off during the show. And then we're going to have our interview with Bill Dance. And it's get your popcorn, get your hurricane snacks, pull up to the radio.
That's cool.
Turn that daggum aggravating. But well, look, by then Clemson already have like their third
75 points.
They'll have their third screen on their third string playing Georgia Southern. So, you know, tune in for the Bill Dance interview.
Yeah,
and that's going to be great. I'm really looking forward to doing that. And in our calendar of events,
got a bunch that's going to roll in starting next week and for a couple weeks, and they're all kind of right together. So,
and then we will round out today's show, our fifth anniversary show, with a parting shot about a story about some animals in a hurricane. So
there you go,
big show coming up for you today. Well, Springer, what's been your experience so far?
What has been my experience? Okay, how far do you want me to go back?
Well, let's not go back to 64. I was born in 1964.
I was born in 1964. Okay.
I see your notes.
All right. I went through Hurricane Camille in 69. That was a Cat 5.
Yep.
Went through Celia in August of 70. That was a Cat 3.
Yeah.
Okay. I went through Frederick in 79, September. That was a Cat 4. Completely destroyed the Gulf Coast down there.
Yeah.
Elena was a Cat 3 in 85, and that's just the big ones.
Yeah.
Okay. So I've seen my share of hurricanes.
Did you ever leave?
When I got old enough to get on in a car and drive, yeah.
When I got old enough to find mommy and daddy, yeah.
But
they used to just leave you behind.
We stayed there for Camille.
Yeah.
We stayed there for Frederick. And then once I, you know, turned where I could drive my own, the one in 85, I was out. Okay.
I left.
You know, just went inshore, not, you know, went north down 65 an hour or two up toward Montgomery.
Well, during those days, would they let you out of jail long enough to evacuate, or did you have to evacuate with the rest of the folks?
Well, I just evacuated with the rest of the folks.
Okay. Yeah.
But there was some, you know.
So the state took care of your evacuation one year.
It's one of those deals, if you're on the coast like that, the best thing I can tell is all the people that I know that have lived there, they have a plan and have everything ready to go even before hurricane season starts.
Yeah.
The ones that are locals that live there, that's what they do. They've got their boards already pre-cut for the windows, the whole nine yards.
Oh, and by the way, for our new transplant folks who've moved down from up north, the boards go outside the home, not inside the home.
I've seen that. Wow.
Yeah.
What the heck? But just, you know, these things can be really bad. And water, as we're seeing with this one,
yeah,
water is the killer.
Well, here's been my experience with hurricanes. Okay. For the most part, I did live in Charleston up until we never had a hurricane there. I was gone before Hugo hit in 89. I actually left Charleston in 88. So never saw anything like that. Okay. But the rest of the time I've lived in the upstate, we don't get hurricanes.
Bingo.
Okay. I'm not even sure we're going to get this one.
Yeah.
You know? So.
And it's been so funny this week. All my folks down there on the Gulf Coast, yeah, the news media's got them scared to death. We're all going to die.
Oh, my goodness.
And I don't know how many texts, and all of you out there that are listening to us on the radio.com app,
yeah,
and also at 1063WORD.com live, I appreciate it. And
yeah,
it was kind of strange.
I appreciate the concern. But
it was strange for me. I'm like, dudes, I'm 4 hours inshore. I'll be okay.
I was looking at social media where somebody had a clip from the CNN of the weather industry. That would be the Weather Channel.
Right.
And they showed a guy, and he's like standing there.
I've seen that.
And he's rocking back and forth, and he's, yeah, throwing shingles up in the air to show. And then two dudes come strolling back.
Strolling by like, hey, dude, what are you doing? What is that idiot doing?
You got St. Vitus dance or something? Dude, stand still.
Are you drunk?
And I'm wondering if there's not somebody with a big fan blowing,
maybe,
you know.
And see, I think that's where we have a problem, Philip. Yeah. Why people don't take this stuff serious when it is really serious, because there's too much drama and too much of that kind of horse crap.
It's all about clicks and ratings.
With the news media.
Yeah. So, hey, if you want clicks and ratings, all you got to do is get Bill Dance to show up on your radio program.
Bingo.
And in the meantime, we're going to go to our station break, and we'll come back with some last-minute severe weather tips for outdoorsmen.
Right here on Upstate Outdoors, 106.3 WORD, the number one talk station in the upstate. Stay tuned. Drink a beer. Hold on.
What is that?
Man, I can't remember it, but I remember listening to it a million times.
Thunder Island.
What'd she say?
Thunder Island.
Thunder Island, man.
Thunder Island. Welcome back, Upstate Outdoors. We're talking about the Upstate Outdoors blog, which I wrote yesterday in advance of the Hurricane Florence, which we do have the, what's it called? Operation Hurricane Florence,
right,
watch.
Right, right.
It's going to be going on at 106.3 WORD. It's your place to go for a balanced weather feed, right?
Without the drama.
Without the drama.
And the,
I mean, I got Tara in the morning.
And
Tara's not much drama. She's just.
And not like to pretend, to pretend like you're getting blowed over by.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Tara's not drama. I just don't want to make her mad. Don't make Tara mad about the weather, okay? Look. She's coming in on a weekend. Leave her alone. Let her, yeah, do her thing.
Anyway,
last minute severe weather tips for outdoorsmen. This past week has been a long vigil, keeping one eye on the daily tasks at hand. Springer had to work overtime this week.
And the other, it was a rough week.
And the other eye on the television, phone, or weather forecasts and predictions about the arrival of Hurricane Florence. The appropriately named spaghetti models have the storm's path crossing the Carolina coastline. Which I think it actually did come in. Where was it? Because I wrote this yesterday.
Wilmington.
Came in at Wilmington.
Which is in North Carolina.
Right. Knew that.
And now it's kind of rolled over.
And now, I mean, what path is it taking to get here? It's taking the old back roads that we used to take from Myrtle Beach to get here. Like 378, and then you cut over, and you go through Dalzell, and then come up and... Man, just take the dadgum interstate, okay? Let's get this thing here and get out of here.
I agree.
All right,
you.
Come on up 26. Anyway, residents of the upstate, ordinarily immune from tropical storm paths, received a wake-up call on Wednesday when the updated predictions called for the storm to change direction after making landfall and heading our direction. Now, thankfully, 200 miles of hard ground have a way of taming a storm that rages when crossing warm Atlantic waters, and the upstate is expected to see more rain than wind with this event.
That still holds true.
Actually slowed down and diminished when it got close to shore. Now, with impacts forecasted for Saturday night through or early Monday morning, thoughts turn to protecting property from the storm's visit. If you're an outdoorsman, you don't need to let your precious outdoor gear get overlooked, but these items tend to slip to the back burner over concern for safety of others and for your home, and because your wife's like, take the umbrella down and get some. We gotta get some hurricane snacks, and then I gotta cut the grass. I'm like, look, I gotta go take this stuff down on my deer stands. Okay, I gotta go make sure the deer hunting property. I need to get the umbrella down in the backyard. Now, look, okay, deer stands.
I wish you people could see when Philip's doing this, because it looks just like the boat girl's face when she talks like that.
Now, we still got a little bit more than 20. I wrote this yesterday. We still got a little bit more than 24 hours. You got maybe 12 hours before the brunt of the storm arrives to the upstate. Now, here's some tips and some suggestions for protecting your outdoor investments. Boats. Now, boats is probably the big thing, and I left out kind of one of the reasons behind this, but I'll fill in on the radio. Storing your boat inside an enclosed building is probably your best protection. That is exactly where the bikini hauler is today. It's inside.
Bingo.
Some brand new boat got pulled out of the deck. I'll put my boat inside a building. I don't care. But if your boat is outside on a trailer or on a lift that will raise the boat out of the water, it's best to put on a cover, if you got one, over the boat to keep excess rain and debris from accumulating in the boat. Pull the drain plug to allow the water that accumulates in the craft to exit through the drain. You don't want to have a boat that's on a trailer and fill up with 8 inches of water, because that much weight it'll damage your trailer.
Yes, it will.
And then also, this is kind of the end of boating season for a lot of folks, and you got all that water that's in your boat, and then things get better, and you know,
you forget
the Clemson games this weekend, and then we got to go see the fall. Next thing you know, you forgot, and your boat's full of water, and it freezes.
That's okay? Really bad.
So go ahead and pull your drain plug now. Let's see, if your boat is on the water, it might be a good idea to take it out for the weekend and store it on a trailer. And if this isn't an option, then make sure your batteries are charged and that the bilge pumps are operating so that they'll pump out any water. Now, your loose outdoor gear, given that this Saturday is the opening day of day of archery season,
wow,
for Game Zone 2, many hunters have been spending afternoons out in the backyard shooting targets or working on deer stands or whatever. And don't leave that stuff laying out. It's a good idea to gather up any loose outdoor gear and store it inside for the weekend. That includes your ATVs, your UTVs, stands, deer stands, your targets you're shooting at. I did put umbrellas in here.
Yes,
that's
you did.
That's a foreshadowing. Get your umbrellas inside, bicycles, anything that might be damaged in high wind or strong downpours. You might even consider moving that grill inside.
I put it up against the house.
Yeah. And, you know, not to succumb to all the, but, you know, just what if.
Yeah.
Pull your grill up here.
Yeah.
I put the cover on mine. Let's see. Now, your hunt camp. This is what I spent all day, most of the day yesterday doing. Many deer hunters have spent the last few weeks preparing for deer season by putting up their deer stands. And if you decide to leave the stands out in the weather, you can reduce the wind-catching ability of the stand by removing the tops, the coverings, or the siding. I spent a lot of time yesterday afternoon doing that. After the storm, make sure you check all of your straps, your attachments, and the bindings before using the stand. Because, look, that tree can be whipped back and forth. It can not only damage the tree because you got that extra weight on it, but also that's going to loosen up your straps and your bindings.
Absolutely.
So you don't – and, it could – friction could wear on them.
Yep.
So just make sure you're pretty much going to have to do it all over again. Okay,
pretty
after
much.
A high wind. The same thing that you've done, checking everything. And then finally, there's a word of warning for those few thrill seekers out there determined not to let a hurricane impede the opening day of deer season, or because I got a day off on Saturday, I'm going fishing, I don't care. Florida kiss my
grits.
Anyway, yeah. Another day or two of preparation isn't going to kill you.
Bingo.
Sitting in a tree or on the water this weekend could. Be smart and stay safe.
Very well worded words there, my friend.
Yes. Yes. Thank you very
because
much.
Because I seen there were some in the tree this morning.
Yeah.
Okay, on some of the deer hunting blogs. Couple of them even killed, but a couple of them said, man, I had to get down. I was afraid I wasn't going to be able to stay attached up here very much longer. So, I get it in one hand, but man, dude.
If we could have hunted last night, I might have been tempted to hunt last night. Because like Springer said, man, all the
critters was on it yesterday.
They're all moving around. They can sense the bear. I actually just driving my four-wheeler.
And seen I'm talking about
not trying to be, stalking or anything, and saw several deer.
Yep.
And yesterday they were moving good last night. But won't be in the stand tonight. Nope.
Nope.
Got to go get ready for hurricane snacks. Anyway, let's go to our break. And then when we come back, we're going to ring up our bud Bobby Jackson. He is the founder of the Palmetto Navy, and they want you to enlist
And on the text line, we have several congratulations on our 5 years from several different texters. We appreciate that and glad you were along for the ride. We're going to take a break right here on Upstate Outdoors. Stay tuned. 106.3 WORD, the number one talk station in the Upstate. Get you some.
Well, Springer's happy. They're playing Rock You Like a Hurricane. He's been waiting on that the whole time.
I love that song, man. Sorry.
Well, we got a great guest on next for you. And if many of you might remember a couple years ago when they had all the flooding that was in Texas, and there was an emergence of a new branch of the military. I don't know if you can call it the military. It was a rescue.
Mm-hmm.
The Cajun Navy. And so one of our folks who volunteered in that area came back to South Carolina and said, hey, man, we need to start up a similar rescue effort, you know, and started the Palmetto Navy. And we've got Bobby Jackson on the line with us. Bobby, welcome to Upstate Outdoors.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate you letting me be on.
Glad to have you here, Bobby.
Well, Bobby, tell us a little bit about the Palmetto Navy and what your folks' goal is.
Well, obviously, our goal is never take the boat off the trailer, and that way, that's a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
For us. What happened? I was watching all the flooding that took place down in Houston, Beaumont area last year, and I just kept watching. And they kept talking about this Cajun Navy, and I kept seeing all these fellas in John boats rescuing people. I mean, it's just people like, I mean, I've been running a John boat about all my life, duck hunting and fishing. So I said, you know, I can do that. So I loaded up my boat and a buddy of mine named Roger, we took off and went to Houston. And in Louisiana, I met some of the leaders and organizers for this group called Cajun Navy. Like I said, we got out there, went all the way out there and never took our, but we got out there late and everything was taken care of. So, you know, I just felt like, you know, maybe we went too far and didn't do anything. So on the way back, my buddy Roger and I just started strategizing and thinking, well, you know, maybe we need to kind of put together a group in South Carolina because one day we're going to have a flood. And it's not if we're going to have a flood, it's going to be just a matter of when. So last year, my son and myself, and we put together a web page. You can find it on Facebook. We called it Palmetto Navy for South Carolina, since that's our state emblem and tree. So we put together Palmetto Navy. And we at that time we had a couple of hurricanes brewing out in the ocean in the Atlantic, and looked like they might have been coming in. I said, well, maybe you're gonna get a flood here. So we did have some flooding down in Charleston area and Somerville area, and we put that up. And about 2 or 3 days later, we had 200 volunteers sign up on our website and Facebook. And then we just kind of went dormant over the summer, obviously, with no flooding. And we've been real dry, so we didn't really need to activate. And then all of a sudden, this Hurricane Florence starts heading this way. And we decided to go ahead and just start looking at our website. And sure enough, people were starting to sign up. And you can go on the Palmetto Navy on Facebook and actually fill out your registration form and sign the release form and become, you know, a member of Palmetto Navy. And if you, like I say, you gotta be able to operate a small boat. Obviously the large boats don't work real well when you're trying to get into some of these in neighborhoods and areas. So smaller boats really work a lot better. And I saw that out in Houston. And so if you can operate one safely, we're looking for people that can operate these small boats. I've got just a John boat with a 25, but I don't even have it out here. My son's got what's called a surface drive, which really works well for this kind of work. And it's a boat that can run in real shallow water.
Bobby, I was going to ask you what does a, would you expect a deployment of the Palmetto Navy to look like? So if folks are interested in volunteering, because Judging by the weather, looks like this is going to be a flooding event. Probably the needs will come about starting first part of next week. And so what would you expect a deployment to look like of your volunteers?
Well, once they get on the fill out the information on that website, they need to mark on there if they're available or not. We're looking for people that have availability. We've got team captains that already we've, matter of fact, I'm in, I've been to down to in North Carolina down there last night in the Wilmington area. And then I've just moved from Wilmington up to Marion, South Carolina. And we feel like a lot of water is going to be coming down the that PD River and Waccamaw River and all that. And so we've got these men coming from, but we got some groups coming in from even from Louisiana, even tonight to come to Marion. And I'm at actually at First Baptist Church Marion right now. So if you sign up and say you're available, we want to assign you to a team of maybe 5 to 10 people. And you will have a team leader that would be contacting you. We're using a couple of apps for communication. We're using the Zello app for it's more like a walkie-talkie to communicate with our people. And we're also using another app called Active Mapper, which actually we know where everybody is at the same time and where they are, and we can assign them rescue operations and missions to go and pick up people or and bring them back and let we know where everybody is at any one time. So then that's pretty much coordinated through Cajun Navy out in Louisiana. We're working very closely with John and Lori Bridges, who actually started Cajun Navy. It's called Cajun Navy 2016. And John is actually up in North Carolina right now. I was with them last night. But we're actually working with, coordinating with, and also being supporting actually the Cajun Navy group out of Louisiana. There are several Cajun Navies, but we're working with the group they call Cajun Navy 2016, which is John Bridges is kind of heads that group up. And so they're actually up in North Carolina today, and we decided to come back down here to Marion. So if you sign up, let us know you're available, and we'll try to get you on a team with a team leader and kind of get that team leader headed where we think we need him. Obviously, we've got a lot of water coming down this in these areas down here in the next couple of days, and we want to try to be available to help people that might need to be rescued out of a home or maybe even over in Houston, it was a lot of maybe nursing homes and stuff like that.
Now, Bobby, let me ask you if somebody, you know, if they're an outdoorsman and maybe they don't have a John boat, you and I were talking a little bit earlier and say, well, we send 2 people out per boat. So if you don't have a boat, but you got time and you want to volunteer, would you be able to pair somebody that has a boat and also, you know, would they be able to volunteer for this effort?
Oh yeah, yeah. They can go ahead and volunteer. What we want them to know when they fill out the form, it tells us let us know what kind of boat they have. I would not recommend a large boat, maybe even a big bass boat. Probably is not. I wouldn't recommend that if you don't have a boat and you want to be a part of this, just go ahead and fill out the information. And when it says type of boat, just say NA or something like non-applicable. And, you know, just go ahead and fit it. That way we know that we can pair that person up with someone that does have a boat and do the best we can.
The next question would be, do you have to be a redneck to volunteer for this? A redneck with a John boat?
Yeah. That's one of the recommendations. And my wife said, Bobby, don't be talking like that on the interview. But like I told you the other day, I said, all we are is a bunch of rednecks with John boats. Well, I have to qualify that somewhat and say, look, you can be a redneck and you can have a John boat, but if you are not going to operate that boat safely, we don't want you. And another thing, if you cannot be a team player, we do not want you. So we want a safe redneck that can operate a John boat safely and can be a team player and not be a maverick and someone that's going to go out here and try to rescue the world.
Yeah, so that rules Springer out.
Yeah. Well, see, we're just two old rednecks doing a radio show here, Mr. Bobby.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that. I've been duck hunting all my life, running John boats all my life, and I just feel like this is something that in South Carolina we got a bunch of good old boys that want to be of assistance, and this is one way they can participate. I worked with the South Carolina Baptist Convention for over 20 years, retired from there, and was very involved with the Southern Baptist disaster relief efforts, and I just see this as something that so many of outdoorsmen, rednecks can be involved with and be of assistance because they know how to operate safely those boats. And it's just an area that so many people can be involved and help. We had a call yesterday when we were in North Carolina. We had a bunch of people that Swiftwater rescue people that needed to be rescued. They didn't have any boat. They didn't have boats to go get them. So that was late last night. I'm not sure if we had a group to go get them or not, but I don't think we did. But, just being able, available to work alongside the fire department. I've just met with the fire department here in Marion and let them know who I am. And I called them a couple of days ago and they're looking for us. And, we're just trying to work along beside these government agencies, the fire departments. We don't want to get in anybody's way.
Well, Bobby,
we want the Swiftwater people to do their job, and we want to just work along beside them. That's all.
Bobby, we really appreciate your time. And if you folks want
Absolutely.
To volunteer, you can go to facebook.com, Palmetto Navy, sign up, download the Zello walkie-talkie app, and you can even create your own handle. So thanks for being on the show with us.
Yeah.
God bless for your work, buddy.
Information. All right. Thank you now.
Yes,
all
sir.
Right. Well, let's go to a break. And then when we come back, we're going to get our live update from the coast of South Carolina via Captain E. And we'll be right back after these messages.
Right here on Upstate Outdoors, 106.3 WORD, the Upstate's talk station, riding the storm out. Riders on the storm.
Woo! Well, as a special report for Upstate Outdoors with 106.3 WRD, we take you live now to the coast of South Carolina, Murrells Inlet, with our field reporter, Captain Inglis Glover. Captain E, what's going on down there with Florence, man?
It's crazy down here. It's all I can do. I'm trying to stand up.
Now,
you might have to lose me.
Now, I believe that you're having trouble standing up, but that's probably got more to do with how many beers you had at the Dirty Dog Saloon in the hurricane party.
I'll drink to that.
You know what? I'm sitting here, Philip. I'm sitting here right behind Dead Dog Saloon right now. I had to get back in the truck. Honestly, the wind started blowing and the rain started coming sideways, and I'm not going to sit there like the rest of those idiots and stand out in the middle of it when I got a nice tundra over here with the air conditioning running. It's been a crazy 48 hours and even further back than that when you start talking about the panic and mayhem that was started here earlier in the week. But, we are getting a little bit more rain now from the backside of it and some wind, but I came down here for the owner of Dead Dog to send a video to him. He evacuated as well, but we're at dead high tide, and whatever storm surge we were going to get, I mean, it can't be more than a foot. We're a little bit higher than normal, but we're not even at a full moon high tide.
So the biggest problems that I see from this storm, really, you could trace back to the governor's premature evacuation.
Man, I tell you, that premature evacuation, us guys, we kind of have to worry about that anyway. But I told you earlier when we spoke, it took already somewhat of a panic mode because we all were. I mean, if you, I only live where my house is. I don't live far from the inlet. And, we were already really nervous. And when they did the all zone evacuation immediately, that was, it was premature. Now, are we all safe? Are we? Did everybody get out of here? Yes. I mean, did I evacuate my family? Heck yeah. I mean, when Ed Piotrowski, our weatherman here, told me that I should, you know, get Kim and the kids away from here, I was, you know, quick to do it. They're in Charlotte, and they got no power, and they're in the middle of 40-mile-an-hour winds. I got power, and I'm watching the Clemson game here. You know, I mean, it doesn't get much better. But, you know, I mean, I've been here for a long time. I moved here not long after Hugo, but I was in Florence for Hugo. And I've left in storms, and I've stayed in storms. And the way this was looking and everything that was forecast, you know, it definitely, I think, you know, with safety in mind and everything else, I don't think the people that left made mistakes. I mean, I would rather leave and say, God, you know, maybe I shouldn't have left than sit in that house with trees falling down going, man, why didn't we leave with a four-year-old and a one-year-old, you know?
Amen.
Now, what was it like? I know they did the lane reversals for I-26 all the way up to, I think, the I-77 exit. But if you're in the Grand Strand, what was did they reverse 501, or what was the exit strategy there?
They did. They reversed 501 starting in Conway. They reversed it, and I believe it went on out until you got to the areas around Dillon and Marion, or Marion. The reversal was till there, so you could split up and go if you wanted to interstates or keep going to Florence. And from what I talked to, the people that used that said it was absolutely incredible. Even during the mayhem, it wasn't bad. You know, the road reversal worked perfect. So that's a great idea and a great part of the plan. I know 26 out of Charleston, they did the same thing. You know, one thing I got to say is that, you know, our brothers and sisters along the water in North Carolina are in for a long recovery, and they're still fighting it up there. You know, a lot of the local tin can Navy, the John Boat Navies are up there. You know, all the Palmetto Navy, I know you guys have talked about. We've got the Low Country Redneck Navy. Jamie Huff and those are on the way. You've got Cajun Navy up there. All those guys going up to assist and all that. And I think as far as what we're going to see here in the Waccamaw River, the Petey River, the Lumber River here, you know, the Black River, we're going to see Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, we're going to start to see that same stuff that we had from Matthew. Mm-hmm. Although I don't think that the Black River is going to get as high. The forecasting for the PD and the Waccamaw are higher than what we had for Matthew because of the amount of rainfall that they're getting up there.
What's the prediction as far as rainfall? And you got to understand, rainfall in the Grand Strand itself is not going to be that big a deal because it's going to go, you know, right on out the inlet. It's what you got to be concerned about is all that rain that they're getting up in the watershed out of North Carolina that's going to come downstream.
That's correct. Our biggest issue is you've got the Waccamaw and the PD, which collect all that water that comes down from the Lumber area, Lumberton area. You've got the Fayetteville area, all of those water, all that water jumps into us. Now, the New River and all that, you know, it goes out at Wilmington. But we'll get all that water, and it's like a 10-lane highway at Winyaw Bay. You think about a 10-lane highway, and all of a sudden traffic comes to one road, and that's exactly what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's going to be a lot of people getting pushed out of their homes this week. It's going to be terrible. You know, it's going to be terrible, but we've been spared the hard part of it. And instead of complaining and griping about, you know, the pre-evacuation, we should be all very lucky and thankful that we've been fortunate enough, and let's help out the people that are going to need the help, because we've got a lot of people within 120 miles of us that are going to be in danger and losing everything they own. So I'm going to be very active with working, trying to set up, getting relief items here. You know, a lot of us have bottles and bottles and bottles of water that we bought for this one that we're not going to use, and I'm hoping people will donate them. But we're going to work hard with trying to help make sure that the relief efforts in North Carolina get what they need, and that these guys that are out there risking their life volunteering to help get these people away from their homes, that they have – that they're not paying for the gas out of their pocket. Somebody's helping them out. You know, these guys, some of these guys are from as far away as Louisiana and Texas, and from the Keys. You've got some charter captains from the Keys that are here. So it's, you know, it makes you really appreciate the fishing family that we all live in. But they need help, and they're going to need assistance, and I'm hoping that we'll be able to do that.
All right.
The other thing I do,
Captain E, we got
up on a hard break.
We
got to
go on an hour. So thanks for your report.
All right.
We'll catch you at the top of the hour.
Captain E, sorry, dude.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.